Reading comes from Joshua 2, verses 1 to 11. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the spies have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you might catch up with them." But really, she'd taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she'd laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below."
Great, I'm just going to pray before we start. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love for us. And we ask that right now you would speak to us through your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So throughout the Bible, we see the Lord's desire to save and redeem those who are lost, and him going to great lengths to do so. And we see that he does this through his almighty power, and he does it through each one of us. This story is one of the earlier examples in the Bible of God's heart to save. If we go to the next slide, I'm going to focus on three things that we learn about God through this passage. And the first is that his plan is to save. The second is that he incorporates us in his plan to save. And the third is that he is powerful to save, and he is for us. So firstly, the Lord's plan is to save. In this passage, we see that Joshua sent spies to search out the land of Jericho. God had, in the previous chapter, commanded him to fight, and he wanted to check out the land to see it was all okay. The king of the land sent out spies to spy on the spies, basically. But the Holy Spirit had been working in Rahab's heart, and she already knew, as it says in verse 9, that the Lord has given this land to you. As we will see next week, God would end up bringing Rahab out of Jericho and saving her from the destruction that would come on that land. So one of the key points we see here is that Joshua's plan was different to God's. Joshua was thinking on a human level, trying to work out this land so that he could conquer it. However, God was in the process of saving one of his precious children. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Shall we just say that together? "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." despite the fact that Jericho was not part of Israel, which was God's chosen people, God had chosen to save Rahab. And this was his plan before Joshua had gone out into the land and before even the creation of the world. God had chosen Rahab, picked her out to save her. Whatever plans we have in life, God's plan is always to save. Before creation, God planned to save the world through the death and the resurrection of his son Jesus, who took on all our sins. And Jesus was by no chance a descendant of Rahab. In Jesus' parable of the lost sheep, we see a beautiful example of the Lord's heart to save. Jesus says in Luke 15, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." The Father's heart, as shown in Jesus, is to seek and save the lost. And before we move on, why don't we just think about that for a moment, for each one of us who know Jesus, that Jesus has saved us from the pit, from hell, from destruction, from our sin. He took it all on the cross and he lifted us out and he saved us. And if any of you in this room have not put your faith in Jesus, I just want to encourage you tonight to do that, to come to him, because he wants to save each one of us. So, secondly, the Lord incorporates us into his plan to save. It's amazing that Jesus chooses each one of us to save the lost. Not that we save them, but he uses us in his process of saving people. When the spies went out into this land, they had no idea who this woman was. And they had no idea that God desired to save her. But God still used them in his plan. And the amazing thing is that with the revelation of Jesus, we know that God desires to save all people. Which is why, if we go to the next slide, which is why Jesus' last commandment to his disciples was, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." And Jesus wants to incorporate every single one of us into his plan to save the lost, which is amazing. And so I'm just going to ask you guys a question, which you can maybe go into groups of three or four, which is, how do you think Jesus uses us so that he can save the lost? So feel free to discuss. Brilliant. Sorry to draw your conversation to a close. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Just, I loved what Dama said, that it starts with a compassion from the Lord.
Yeah, that's great. Compassion. Anyone else?
He calls us to tell people the good news about him.
That's good.
Yeah, we said through relationships, It shows that you have integrity and you really care about somebody, and it's not just you trying to, you know, give them some information, but actually building that relationship with them.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking just living with integrity, but also just keeping it real. Like, if you're going around pretending that you're perfect, you're going to put people off, really, aren't you? So I think it's just about being really honest, and, you know, that whole thing, you know, I'm not perfect, but I know someone who is, yeah. You know, that.
Amazing, yeah. Thank you. We had two thoughts. James was highlighting that courage is often something that we fail to have in England. And if we're really as captivated by Jesus as we maybe should be, having the courage to go beyond our lethargy is something that we all need. Because actually, if the gospel is good and it is like a matter of life or death, then it matters enough for me to get over my own social awkwardness. And then also prayer, that actually the Lord incorporates us in by making us intercessors and making us people that care enough about the gospel that we are going to get on our knees and we're going to trust that Jesus is big enough to save our nation. And so, like, so almost both dimensions are important.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks so much, guys. So we had honesty, prayer, going and telling people, building relationships. Yeah, so many amazing things. And this leads us to our next point, which is that the Lord is powerful and he is for us. So Rahab is hiding these spies because she fears the Lord. And she says, all who are living in this country are melting in fear because of you. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Sihon, and the two kings of the Ammonites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. The Lord is powerful. He's so powerful, and he's here with us now. And I think if we understand how powerful God is, that he's the maker of our universe, I think it will change the way we think about how he saves people, that he is mighty to save, he is powerful to save people, and he is powerful enough to use us to save people. Even if we feel weak and timid, God is so powerful that he can use each one of us to bring his kingdom to save people from darkness, from sin. Like Rahab, let's remember all that God has done. Let's read this book. Let's remember his mighty acts. And let's remember what he's done in our lives, how he's saved us through the resurrection of Jesus, how he's transformed our lives and our friends' lives. But let's also remember that those things are not a thing of the past. Through Jesus, we've received more power now than we can ever imagine. And this is the things of the past. God wants to do more than that tomorrow. He wants to use us every day. Jesus says in John 14, verse 12 to 13, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will be the works that I have been doing. And these are like Jesus' amazing miracles. And they will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. These are amazing promises. And just before he ascends, Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes in me and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe in me will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. Do we really believe in a powerful God who has filled us with the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who is for us and is not against us? Jesus has given us all authority to do mighty works in his name in order that many will be saved. And all we need is that mustard seed of faith, just to step out of our comfort zone, just to listen to the Holy Spirit prompting us and trusting God that he will work when we obey him. And I think it's not actually that complicated, like going in and bringing God's saving power to people. And James says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I've seen this in my own life. I don't feel like I have that much faith, to be honest. But I've always felt called to go and pray for people, like just random people on the streets. And I'm often scared and I often struggle to do it. And many of the people I've prayed for haven't been healed, but lots of the people I've prayed for also have been healed. I think when we realize, when we look at God and see how powerful he is, like Rahab looked at God and saw his power, then we will just see him do amazing things. We will see him saving people. And one story that I told around Easter time, which is just a beautiful example of God's saving power, was there was a guy who goes to my university, and he had like abuse and stuff from his past, and he basically had a bit of a breakdown around January time, and ended up in hospital, and it was just awful. I didn't know him at this point, but around March time he came to the Christian Union at Sussex, at the end I chatted to him, and he said his uncle had told him to start reading the Bible, and he'd started reading the Bible, and he said the story of the prodigal son really spoke to him, which is a story again similar to the lost sheep of God's saving grace. And he just, the Bible had started to lift him up out of this kind of depression that he was in. That night he gave his life to Jesus and he was saved. And he's since just been so full of joy, and it's just amazing to see the way that God has saved him. So I'm going to finish by looking at what Rahab finishes with in verse 11. When we heard of it, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord is God in heaven above and earth below. Our God is mighty and powerful, more than we can imagine, and he is the Lord. Let's not let fear hold us back anymore from being a part of his plan to save the lost. Let's share the gospel with all creation, with all people. Let's pray for the sick with faith. We are God's plan A in saving people. And amazingly, we don't have to do this in our own strength. He fills us with his Holy Spirit so that Jesus can live in us to save people. So what we're going to do now is invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us with the power and love of Jesus so that many like Rahab will be redeemed. So let's pray. Let's just open our hearts to God. to his will in our life. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us and fall on each one of us? Would you give us that heart of compassion for the lost, the love of the Father for the least, the last, and the lost? And would you equip us with power now, Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of Jesus living in us? Come, Holy Spirit.